Hey guys, in this episode we cover the top 5 exercises that you should be doing and probably aren't. Don't miss it.
Welcome to the Hit Zero Podcast, where our goal is to build better cheer athletes.
What is up guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Hit Zero Podcast. First of all, I apologize if it sounds awkward, loud. If something doesn't sound right, I'm in the car headed to the lake for a couple of hours, and I'm also leaving tomorrow to go to Vegas for the USASF national meeting, and I wanted to make sure that I got a podcast out to you guys before the weekend hits and things just get crazy. So I'm hoping that this is going to come through clear enough that you're able to hear it and it sound okay. If not, then we'll re-record it. No big deal. But yes, coming up this weekend, I'm headed off to Vegas for the USASF national meeting. Very excited about this. The first USASF national meeting that I've been able to go to and also take part in. Very, very blessed to be a speaker or presenter at the meeting. Get to talk to coaches and program owners. And even athletes. We've got some athletes coming out for it. But to get to talk to them about injury prevention, injury rehab, return to sport after we've had an injury, kind of setting some expectations for you guys when you do get hurt, so that, you know, we're not alienating you away from the team or feel like, you know, we have to completely pull you. It's really setting some sport-specific expectations. And I'm pumped to be able to take part. So, you know, if you saw on our Instagram and YouTube this week, we released a video explaining an exercise called a banded hip pull through, which is basically like where you're standing, you have the band anchored behind you, you step over and kind of straddle the band with your legs somewhat straight, and you're hinging forward, reaching through your legs, grabbing the band. And you're basically pulling the band between your legs as you stand back up straight. If you're not familiar, if that sounds confusing, check out the YouTube or the Instagram and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. But that got me thinking, you know, the description in that video is, you know, it's a way to help strengthen a notoriously weak area in the body for our cheerleaders, cheer athletes, and that's our posterior chain. The posterior chain is a group of muscles that work together, including kind of the lower back muscles, your butt muscles, your glutes, and your hamstrings. And you can also tie your calves in as well. But basically the muscles on the back side of the body that help support the hip and the low back. And so that exercise is very simple, but it's also very, very effective at helping to strengthen this notoriously weak area that our athletes have. And it got me thinking. You know, with this upcoming weekend, you know, a lot of this is going to be focused, a lot of things that I'm covering are going to be focused on injury prevention and keeping you guys healthy so that we can stay on the mat. It got me thinking about what are some other things that we can do to help fill these voids in our athletes. And so this episode is going to be the top 5 exercises that cheerleaders aren't doing that they should be doing. Now, if you're doing some of these, I applaud you, because these exercises are all geared towards preventing injury or helping to rehab from an injury. A lot of these exercises I teach when I do our coaches' conferences, or we'll do like a coaches' weekend where we come in and we teach, you know, coaches how to look for injuries, what to notice, and also to prevent them. We want to teach them how to implement things into their conditioning or their warm-ups to where we can try to prevent some of these injuries. And so these 5 exercises are things that I have taught as preventative type things that we can do to help prevent injuries in you guys. So number 1 is our Nordic negative. Now, a Nordic negative is an exercise for the hamstrings. It is probably the gold standard hamstring strengthening, body weight hamstring strengthening exercise for a couple of reasons. Number 1, it's extremely safe. It's body weight and it's a very controlled exercise. Number two is it's performing what's called an eccentric load, which that means the muscle is lengthening while under tension instead of shortening. And what that kind of give you an idea of what that means is if you hold a weight in your hand and you do a bicep curl, you pull that weight up towards your shoulder. As you pull that up, that muscle, your bicep, is shortening as it contracts. Well, if you're controlling it as it goes back down, you're still contracting it, but you're lengthening that muscle with the contraction, and that's what that eccentric load is. So the Nordic Negative is a very similar concept, except it's for your hamstrings. And so it's performed with the athlete taking both knees, so you're kneeling down on both knees with your feet behind you, and you're standing or kind of sitting upright. So knees are on the floor, our body is upright. Now what we would do is have someone sit behind us and hold our feet or our ankles down. If you're by yourself, you can slide your feet either under the tumble track, or if you have a couple of big dumbbells, you can slide your toes, basically the front part of your foot, underneath those that resistance. From there, you're trying to keep your body as straight as possible as you start to lower towards the floor. So it's almost like you're like a tree leaning and falling, okay? Now, we don't want to just free fall and flop down onto our face. We want to try to control that movement and it be as slow and as long as we can before we have to reach out, grab the floor, and catch ourselves. So this exercise is amazing at building hamstring strength in a very safe and controlled way. And as you lower, your hands are placed directly in front of your body, kind of almost like if you're holding a ball in front of your chest. Your hands are directly in front of your chest, and they're ready to reach out and catch the floor as you lower yourself down. If you want an example of a Nordic Negative, if you hop on our YouTube channel, we do have a video of a Nordic Negative, and you can see exactly what I'm talking about. So that is exercise number one. That exercise, the reason why that's a good one is because cheerleaders typically stretch their hamstrings mostly. They don't strengthen them as much as they should. And so we end up getting hyper-flexible in the hamstrings without a concurrent strength level to match it. And so that is sets us up for hamstring pulls. It also sets us up for ACL injuries and lower back injuries. So Nordic Negative is extremely beneficial. Number two is our Romanian deadlift, or our RDL, and slash hip pull through that we talked about a little bit earlier. So again, this is another exercise that has a lot of hamstring focus, but it also has a lot of glute focus with it as well. So the RDL, or banded hip pull through, are basically straighter legged versions of the deadlift. So we have a video for both of these movements on the YouTube channel that are easily described. The banded RDL, as we talked about before, that's one that if you are holding either a band in your hands, you're standing on the band with one end in each hand, or if you've got dumbbells, you can use dumbbells, or barbells, you can use a barbell. And what you're doing is you have a soft bend in your knees, and you are hinging forward at your hips. Now, you're not rounding your back. You're not squatting. You are keeping the bend in the knees the same through the entire movement, and you're hinging forward at the waist, bringing your chest towards the floor. Once you reach a point where you feel tension in the back of your hamstrings, then you come back up to the upright position, and you bring the weights back to your side. Now, the goal with this is we want to keep the resistance, whether it's the dumbbells, a barbell, or a band. We want to keep that resistance close to our body. We don't want to let the hands drop out in front of the chest. We want to keep them near the legs the entire time. On that banded hip pull through, same thing. We've got the band behind us anchored close to the floor. We step over the band, so we're straddling the band, and we're reaching through our legs, kind of like a football player that's hiking the ball. We want to reach between our legs. We want to get into that flat back position with our knees slightly bent, and then from there, we're bringing the hips forward with a big squeeze in the glutes. Now, these two exercises basically build off of the concept with that Nordic Negative, in that we want to strengthen the muscles in the backside of the body. So this adds a lot of glute muscles or butt muscles to what the Nordic Negative is doing, and so we can actually get both of those muscle groups at the same time. This exercise is phenomenal. Both of them, the RDL and the banded hip pull-through, are phenomenal exercises. Again, going to help to decrease ACL injuries, decrease lower back pain, and going to make you just a more well-rounded athlete. So again, check out the YouTube channel. They should be on there as well. Exercise number three. Now, this one is not really an exercise. I mean, I guess it is, but a lot of gyms do use this one, but they don't emphasize the importance of this exercise. Number three is the heel walk. And it's exactly what I'm saying. It's a heel walk, right? So we're walking on our heels. Now, I do know that a lot of gyms will use this as part of the warm-up for tumbling classes. Some gyms I've seen and programs I've seen that will kind of have it, you know, it's a very brief and really kind of we glaze over it as part of a warm-up. What I want you guys to start considering is making the heel walk a very, very big, important part of your warm-up routine and of your conditioning routine. And the reason for that is the most common injury that we have in cheerleading is ankle sprains. Like 80% of cheer athletes are ankle sprains, or cheer injuries are ankle sprains. It's extremely common, and the thing is, it's really sad, is it's extremely preventable. So the reason why we have so many ankle sprains is very simple. When we look at our sport, we consider flexed feet, where your toes are pointed up, not pointed straight. We consider that quote unquote ugly, right? It doesn't look good. So we always hear point your toes, don't flex your feet. So because you guys live in this toe pointed position, you lose the ability to bring your foot back the other direction or to flex your feet. Now, when you look at an ankle sprain, ankle sprains happen most often when our foot is pointed, like pointed toes, and then it rolls to the side. So by you guys living with your toes pointed like all the time, you're basically doing 50% of an ankle sprain all the time, which means it only takes a little bitty flop sideways and you're already halfway to an ankle sprain. So it predisposes you to ankle sprains. So in order to try to balance out the movement or the mechanics of your ankle, we have to train you the other direction. Now, that doesn't mean that I want everyone doing flexed feet in everything that they do. What I mean is that we need to be equally strong in all directions of the ankle, not just pointing our toes. We need to be able to flex our feet and to be strong there so that we can prevent the ankle from rolling. And the only way to do that is to build strength, stability, and balance in the ankle. So my suggestion is every gym should have their athletes doing heel walks for at least 2 to 3 minutes each time they're in the gym. And if you're an athlete and you're trying to be proactive and try to prevent the most common injury we have, then you should be doing 3 minutes of heel walking every single day. And it doesn't have to be all at once. You can break it up. One thing I've suggested to athletes is if there's a hallway in your house that's, you know, that you walk down pretty often, make it a rule that every time you walk down that hallway, it has to be on your heels. You know, put a post-it note at either end of the hallway to remind you, walk on my heels. You know, when you're standing brushing your teeth, if you got, you know, you're standing in the bathroom, lift your toes up, stand on your heels while you brush your teeth. Make it something that's it's fun, it's not monotonous. But guys, I cannot stress, if you have never experienced an ankle sprain or have never been on a team that had an ankle sprain at a terrible time, like, I don't know, a week or two before Worlds or Summit or D2 Summit or Nationals, it is so heartbreaking and so stressful on the athlete, the team, and the parents, that it breaks my heart more than anything when I see an athlete that has worked so hard throughout the season have an injury like an ankle sprain that sidelines them before the end of the year. It truly is devastating to everyone. And, you know, there are some ankle sprains that I can fix quickly, and there's some that I can't. And the ones that are severe, that happen in these high-stress situations, a lot of times are some of the harder ones to fix. And it breaks my heart to have to tell an athlete, I'm sorry, but I cannot clear you for Worlds, or I cannot clear you for Summit or Nationals or anything like that. So please, I beg you, if you're going to take anything from this podcast, do the heel walking. It is one thing that's easy to do and will dramatically reduce the amount of ankle sprains that your program has, and it'll dramatically reduce the likelihood that you as an athlete will face a devastating injury that could potentially sideline you through the rest of the season. We're going to take a break from just a second, and we'll be right back with our last two exercises out of the five exercises that you should be doing and likely aren't. Stay tuned. Hey, thank you so much for your support for the Hit Zero podcast. Truly could not have done it without Anchor. Anchor has an incredible platform where you can record, edit, and distribute your podcast all from your phone. You guys would be surprised how many episodes I have done from start to finish and distributed it from my phone. It's really, really, really incredible. Now, what you have to do is you can either go to anchor.fm. That's their website. You can go there, you can get started, or you can download the Anchor app. It's available in all of the app stores that you can get for your phone, and you can start right away. And believe it or not, you can actually make money from your podcast, and you don't even have to have a certain amount of listeners. Just by having one listener, you can start to make money from your podcast. So if you're interested in making a podcast, check out anchor.fm or check out the app store, download Anchor, and I cannot wait to hear your first episode. Welcome back, guys. I hope you didn't miss me as much as I missed you. Thanks for sticking with me through this episode. We are counting down the top five exercises that you are probably not doing that you should be doing. The first three we talked about. Number one was a Nordic negative. The second was a RDL, Romanian deadlift, / banded hip pull through. And then third was our heel walking. Again, any of these exercises that we talk about, you should be able to find a video on our YouTube channel if you're unsure about them. But we're going to dive into the last two exercises that you as a cheer athlete should be doing, or you as a coach should be having your athletes doing. Number four is box jumping. Now, I know that sounds kind of silly, but box jumping. Not tuck jumping, not squat jumping, jumping up onto an elevated surface and landing on that surface and then standing up all the way and then coming back down and repeating. So one of the most common questions that comes through the Instagram and comes through emails and posts and all that kind of stuff is, how do I get better blank? And that could be better jumps, better tumbling, better, you know, stunting, all these things. How do I get better at blank? Well, our sport is a very dynamic sport. And I mean that as far as like the movements that we do are very dynamic. Tumbling, very dynamic, lots of power. Stunting, explosive, throwing people, lots of power. Jumps, same thing, right? Basket tosses, same thing. So when you're trying to build explosive power, part of that is speed, right? You ever seen somebody do a slow round off back handspring that looks good? No, you haven't, right? It's speed. So there's a component of what we do that involves explosive power. And the easiest way to train explosive power is with jumping. And jumping with a landing component that is higher than your takeoff. And the reason for that is if you're jumping and just landing, like, yes, that's good, but you have no control on basically the second half of the movement, right? So you're jumping, and then you're just kind of landing, and that's it. When you jump onto an elevated surface in front of you, you have to create enough consistent power to propel you up onto that surface, And then you have to catch yourself much more controlled than you would if you just came down to the ground. And then you have to stand up out of it. So you're almost getting a jump and a squat, like a bodyweight squat, in the same movement. And so by having a surface that you're jumping onto, you are doing essentially double the work that you would with just a single tuck, you know, jump or tuck jump. So suggestions for that are, if you have an elevated tumble track, that's a great place to start. If you don't, get up, you know, a bunch of panel mats that you can fold up high enough to where, you know, you give yourself and you give your athlete a surface high enough they have to work to jump. Now, the other thing about that is box jumps or jumping onto an elevated surface, that is not supposed to be a high repetition activity. If we're truly jumping for height, we treat that like if we're doing like close to our max, right? So we're looking at like the 3 to 10 rep range. And the goal isn't high volume with these. The goal is as powerful as we can be. So when we do conditioning, and you know, if you're adding jump, you know, box jumps or tumble track jumps into your conditioning, I want you to look at it as not necessarily like a cardio-based movement. I want you to look at it as a power and speed-based movement, right? Think about a sprint versus a jog versus a walk. We want this to be a sprint. We can't walk a mile with the same intensity that we sprint 100 meters, right? So I want you to think about the box jump as more of a sprint movement. Explosive, working on trying to get the athletes to increase their height on how high they can jump up to, not how many reps can they do. So box jumps or jumping onto an elevated surface, extremely beneficial and also very translational. It translates to many, many, many things that we do in cheer. And the last, number 5, the last exercise that you should be doing that you probably aren't, is actually not one exercise. I lied. It is a style of exercise. And the good news is it's easily adaptable. And that is Olympic lifting. Now, for those that are complete novices when it comes to weightlifting and aren't really, you know, sure, there are different styles of weightlifting. You have bodybuilding style weightlifting that is very single structure, right? We're doing chest, we're doing arms, we're doing shoulders. This is a very common style of exercise. It's also a very common improper way to train for sport. You cannot do bodybuilding style exercises only and expect to be as efficient as an athlete as you could be. Does it help? Sure. Is it the end all be all? Not even close. So there's also powerlifting. Now powerlifting, some of the movements from, you know, all these kind of translate over. But powerlifting is based on the three, what they call the three big movements, depending on who you talk to, the four big movements. But those three big movements are the ones that are competed, and that is the squat, the bench, and the deadlift. And that is squatting with the bar on your back, bench pressing, obviously, and the deadlift, picking weight off the floor. The fourth big movement, you know, for some people, they don't, you know, you usually don't compete this, but you can train it because it will help, is the overhead press. So holding a barbell in front of your shoulders while you're standing and pressing it overhead. Most of the time, again, that's used for training, not necessarily competition. Then you have Olympic lifting. Olympic lifting is broken down into two movements, the snatch and the clean and jerk. The snatch and the clean and jerk have very similar goals, and that is moving a weight from the ground to the overhead position in the most efficient way possible, and moving the heaviest that you can move efficiently. So the difference between the two is that the snatch is moving weight from ground to overhead in one fluid motion, and the clean and jerk is moving weight from ground to overhead in two motions, and you break at the shoulder. So what, as an example, just to give you an idea how that translates to cheer and putting it into terms that you guys may be more familiar with. If you are partner stunting one person on the base, one flyer, a snatch or a clean and jerk would be a toss to hands and then press extension. So tossing up to the shoulders and then pressing overhead. The snatch would be like a toss extension. So from the ground up overhead. If you're group stunting, it would be, you know, a clean and jerk would be like a load in to prep up, you know, and then a prep up to an extension as a group. Or a snatch would be load in, straight up extension. These two movements are two of the most complex movements in all of strength sports, but they can also be modified for any fitness level, and it can be modified using different objects instead of just a barbell. So we can do a snatch and a clean and jerk with a medicine ball. We can do a snatch and a clean and jerk with kettlebells. We can do it with dumbbells. And if you are stunting, you are basically doing that with a person. So the snatch and clean and jerk, they can be very difficult to master, but they shouldn't be feared in application. We shouldn't be worried about doing these movements or trying to teach our athletes to do these movements as long as we're doing them with good, you know, good form and starting with very, very, very low weight. You know, as low as like the PVC pipe, just to work on the mechanics first, and also light dumbbells or light kettlebells. There's, you know, there are instructional videos on the snatch and the clean and jerk. We have an example of each on the YouTube channel, and, you know, just a simple Google search for, you know, basic instructions for snatch and clean and jerk. You can find, I mean, there are hundreds of thousands of resources out there to help you with these two movements. But these two, even though they are the most complex, they can, I should say, they are extremely, probably the top two exercises that our athletes should be doing. Just to give you an idea of why these are so important, or why I keep why I'm harping and spending so much time on this. You guys remember, you know, if you follow along, you know, we've had Colin Cockrell on the podcast. We've also had videos of him. And recently we talked to him about a stunt, you know, a stunt clinic that he was doing. And Colin is a former Team USA Olympic weightlifter. So he's Team USA cheer, but also Team USA weightlifting. Team USA weightlifting competes, just like we talked about, in the snatch and the clean and jerk. And so Colin is arguably one of the best stunters on the planet, and one of the best in the history of the sport. And his background in Olympic weightlifting is what gave him a lot of the strength and explosive power that he uses for stunting. And he admits it. You know, he says that the strength building is what got him the ability to do what he does. He, you know, because of that, and because of his success, Team USA cheerleading and Team USA weightlifting now have a partnership where Team USA, or USAW, USA weightlifting, is programming or writing the strength programming for Team USA. So because of Colin, USA cheer recognizes the benefit of athletes doing Olympic lifting. And that's not just guys, that's girls too, because girls have to be explosive as well. So finding a way to incorporate some of the variations of Olympic lifting, of the snatch and the clean and jerk, into your strength program or into your conditioning is beyond beneficial. More than I could put into, you know, words in just a few minutes. So I'm really, really glad we got to come together and talk about these five things. I truly hope that you're, you know, take these exercises and implement, you know, if not all of them, implement some of them into your routine, your conditioning or your strength routines, into your warm-ups even, because, you know, these exercises are designed to fill the gaps that our sport creates. And by filling those gaps, we are setting our athletes up for less injury. We're setting them up to be more efficient, and we're setting them up to just be good, to just truly blast their abilities into hyperspeed. And why? And I promise, if you implement these things and truly just take a step back after a few months, you're going to notice a dramatic change in frequency of injury and the quickness that the athletes are getting new skills. If you have any questions about any of these exercises, you know, I definitely want you to check out the YouTube channel. There's a lot of videos there. As always, you know, it's one of those things. Unfortunately, I have to put the disclaimer that this information is presented as purely informational, and to always check with your primary care doctor to make sure that you're safe to do any sort of extra exercises and things, and that you are using a guide or a trainer, you know, to help you understand proper mechanics with these movements and things. We always want you guys to be safe, and unfortunately, we live in a world where we have to do disclaimers like that. But we have to protect ourselves, and so definitely check with somebody and make sure that you're safe and that you're able to do these so you do not hurt yourself. If you have any questions about anything specific, feel free to reach out as always to cheerdoc@gmail.com or drtravis@thecheerdoc.com. We are always here for you guys. I will have a follow-up for you after USASF national meeting. I definitely want to share with you guys the things that we covered and the things that we did, because I'm super excited. It should be fun. So share this episode. If you haven't already, leave us a review on whatever platform you listen on. It truly does help us to grow the podcast. Leave an honest review. I never ask for 5-star reviews. I always ask that you leave honest feedback. Let us know what you think. If there's anything that you'd like us to talk about topic-wise, definitely let us know. But either way, I hope you have an amazing rest of your day, and we will catch you on the next episode.